Gary's going to share with us, you know, some of the ways we can really take control of our thinking. And, you know, often we allow negative thoughts of others or even our own negative thoughts to really influence the direction that we're taking with our own goals and dreams. And, you know, we call that dream stealers, and you can be your own dream stealer. But, and, you know, this in turn causes us to want to shut down and slow down and even quit. So we have to be real careful about that. So Gary's really going to explain to us how this happens. And more importantly, he's going to show us how to minimize those influences, you know, any of those negative thoughts or negative influences from our family or friends that might come our way. So let's continue how to learn to master the art of follow-through. And once again, let's welcome personal growth expert and life strategist, Gary Cox.
Welcome to Session 5 in Mastering the Art of Follow-Through. I'll quickly give you the same reminder as I have in each session before we get started. When you hear this beep, it means that we're going from the call back here into the studio. So now let's listen in on Session 5.
Well, hello again, and Debbie, thanks so much for helping out tonight.
My pleasure.
Appreciate having you with us. Well, as Debbie mentioned, we're at Lesson 5, so we're getting close to about halfway through. We've certainly covered a lot of information, and we've got a lot more to go. Let's quickly do a short review of some of the information we talked about in Lesson 4. We'll make a quick review on that, and we'll get going to Lesson 5. In Lesson 4, we talked about the importance of staying focused. Remember, we need to identify some of the things that cause us individually to get off of focus. Know what they are, consciously be aware of them, and when it happens again, identify where you are getting off focus and do your very best to obviously change that so you can continue to go forward and follow through on your goals. We also talked about the importance of why. Remember, though, it takes more than just having a why. A lot of people say, what's your why? And boy, if you have a why, that's supposed to be just the magic answer. And now because you have a why, you're going to attain your goals. It takes more than just a why. You can write down just one reason why you want to attain a goal. You can have another person write down 500 reasons why they want to attain the goal. Which person has the greater odds of attaining that goal? Well, it's not necessarily the one with the 500 on that list. It could be the person with just that one thing. If that one thing has more value to that person than all 500 of them combined for the other person, the answer here is the person who has the highest value on whatever reason or whatever their why is, that's the person who's going to have the greater odds in attaining their goals. So we definitely want to remember that. It's the why, it's the reason or value on the why. Okay, today we're going to have a really interesting session. I think you'll enjoy it. If you could turn your workbooks open to Session 5, or for those of you who have taken the information off the internet, go ahead and pull that in front of you now. You should have two pages. One would be Session 5, and the other will be going back into Setting the Goal. So the first sentence on Session 5 that we want to go over, and remember, where did we get this information from? We got this from Lesson 1, one of the evaluation questions or statements. Here's the first one. On Session 5, how much control do I have over external stimuli? How much control do I have over external stimuli? Now, if you've been with us from Session 1, hopefully you can go back to Session 1 real quickly and see how you evaluated yourself. Did you give yourself a 1, a 5, a 9, or a 10? If you gave yourself a 10, that means you're really, really strong. 10 is the highest. You don't allow external stimuli to affect the way you think. So what was your evaluation? Maybe between now and the first lesson, that number may have increased, and hopefully it has. If it has, you're doing your homework. But we're going to talk about more ways to master the ability to not allow external stimuli to control us. Now, when we talk about external stimuli, what am I talking about? Basically, I'm talking about the fact that when somebody says to you, oh, you can't make that happen, that's just ridiculous. Well, who do you think you are? As Debbie mentioned earlier, dream stealers. These are people that are going to say things to you that are going to tell you that you're not capable of doing this, that what you're going to do or what you want to do with your goals and your dreams, it's not possible. So what happens is if we're not careful, these people saying these things, this is what we call external stimuli. And if we're not careful, this stimuli will affect the way we think. And if it affects the way we think, one moment we'll feel successful. And the moment we start hearing all this trash, all of a sudden, we no longer have that feeling of success. So this is something that we're going to really focus in on tonight. And I tell you, if you're human and honest, I think you'll admit that this is something that's definitely a challenge. I am human just as much as all of you that are listening on this call today. And let me tell you, I'm susceptible to external stimuli. The key, though, is how susceptible are you? Are you so susceptible to it that it causes you to give up and throw in the towel? Or are you strong enough, at least, and trained enough mentally to allow some of that external stimuli to bounce onto you and right off of you? So that's the key. That's what we want to do. We want to have the ability to play games with our mind instead of our mind playing games with us, or also instead of allowing external stimuli to play games with their mind. Let's go to the next sentence in session 5. This one I think you'll find interesting. Don't let other people, and the two words we want to fill in there is rent, R-E-N-T, space, S-P-A-C-E, in your head. Don't let other people rent space in your head. See, if people are telling you trash stuff, they're doing that dream stealing stuff, don't let that stuff rent space in your head. Your brain is too valuable. Your head is too valuable to be renting space like that. So remember, you cannot allow these type of things and people like this to rent space in your head. This is something that if you allow it to happen, it's going to prevent you from really mastering that art of follow through. So that's something we want to be careful of. Make sure we don't let other people rent space in our head. Let's go to the next statement. Your ability to prevent this from happening will largely depend on your ability to master your beliefs. Fill in that word there with the word beliefs. B-E-L-I-E-F-S. Let me repeat that. Your ability to prevent this from happening, what are we talking about happening? Your ability to prevent people from renting space in your head, to keep that from happening, will largely depend on your ability to master your beliefs. Now, when we talk about beliefs, what are we talking about? The answer is going to be just underneath that statement, and it's for every belief. Put the word belief in that next blank. For every belief we act on, we get a result. Add the word result there. For every belief we act on, we get a result. So when we think about the word belief, basically we're just talking about a thought, the way that we think. So for every thought or belief you act on, you get a result. So that's what's an interesting thing about this. If we want greater results in life, in our business, whatever our goals are, we have to make sure that our thinking or our beliefs are in harmony with whatever our goals are. The key is, do we know really what our thought process is? Do we know if our thought process is in harmony with our goals? Now remember, we can just say things that sounds good, but remember a lot of that too can be positive thinking. And what do we know about positive thinking? Positive thinking is like spray paint on rust. It doesn't last long. The key then is if we want greater results or more results in life, often we have to make sure that we have to change our thought process to get to that point. Just because we have a limited result for a lot of people, they say, okay, I have a limited result here. I want to increase it and get a result over here, or a lot higher. So they go from the lower result. They start working on getting a higher result. They get up there for just a little bit, and they go back down. And then they go back up, back and forth, back and forth. People do that all the time. It's called the yo-yo syndrome. Why does that happen? Why do people go up and down, up and down? People do it with weight. They do it with finances. They do it with emotions. The reason it happens is they have not identified the thought process or thought processes that would get them greater results. So they only focus on the result, and by doing that only, they only get temporary results. So what we have to do is we need to identify the specific thinking, the specific thought processes that enable us to get greater results. And if we don't do that, usually the results that we do get will be very temporarily. And that's why you see people will become very successful at one point, then something will happen. They'll be very susceptible to external stimuli. They'll mentally or emotionally crash. They'll try it again. They'll go up a little bit, back down, up and down, up and down. What we have to do is learn to prevent this external stimuli from attacking our thought process. So how do we do that? Well, we're going to need to learn to really master the way that we think. So let's go to the next sentence in session 5. Ready? Fill in the blanks. You got two blanks here. Mental vertigo. M-E-N-T-A-L. That's one word. Mental vertigo. V-E-R-T-I-G-O. Mental vertigo. What is mental vertigo? Friends, mental vertigo is a state of mind that can cause you to instantly want to give up. Now, if you're a human like I am, I have felt that many, 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 many times in life. Mental vertigo is a state of mind that can cause you to instantly want to give up. Now, let me explain to you a little bit more about what this mental vertigo is. What it is, too, really, is a mindset, and it's a negative mindset, and it's a mindset that really happens due to external stimuli, the fact that we're allowing external stimuli to rent space in your head. So anytime you allow external stimuli to rent space in your head, what's happening now, you are now going to be susceptible to mental vertigo. Let's talk a little bit about this mental vertigo. Perhaps you'll remember or have heard about JFK Jr., He unfortunately, some time ago, he died in a plane crash, an aircraft that he was piloting himself. The reason he crashed was because he unfortunately got into mental vertigo. In aviation, mental vertigo, you want to listen to this closely, in aviation, mental vertigo happens when a pilot lacks adequate visual information or references as to the aircraft's pitch or bank angle. In other words, the up and down or the left and right. So instead, the pilot actually relies on cues from the sensory organ in the inner ear, which can be very misleading. Now, the movement of both your head and body, as well as the motion of the airplane, affects these sensory organs. So what happens here then is the inner ear can actually give you false feelings. Important. Let me repeat that. The inner ear can give you false feelings. In other words, feeling that your up is down and your left is right. And obviously, this can be incredibly dangerous to a pilot, and it was so dangerous to JFK, that is exactly what happened to cause his death. He got into mental vertigo, and because he did not have enough experience, he flew by his feelings and not by his instruments, and because of that, he crashed his airplane, lost his life, and also some of his family went with him. We're going to talk about how that relates to you. Let me give you a quick glimpse of that, and then we'll go into it in greater detail. How does this affect us? Well, we're susceptible to mental vertigo. We'll continue to work toward our goals. We'll feel very successful at one moment. Then all of a sudden, something happens. Sometimes we can identify what it is. Other times, we can't. Then that feeling of success we had just yesterday or just 5 minutes ago is no longer there. When you get that feeling, that is what you're going to identify as mental vertigo. The key is if you don't know how to manage mental vertigo, just unfortunately as JFK did not know how to do, you're going to crash and spin, tailspin and die. And that's what he did because he did not know how to manage mental vertigo. Let's illustrate mental vertigo a little further. You'll notice on session 5 that we've got an illustration there. What we've got there are 4 illustrations. Now, each illustration represents an airplane. So here's what I'd like you to do. Obviously, you're not going to be able to do this exercise if you're on a cell phone driving a car or something like that. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your right hand for me. Put your right hand in front of you. Oh, maybe, I don't know, 6 inches or so. And I want you to have your palm of your right hand facing toward the ground. Then I would like you to look at Illustration 1 on Session 5, and I want you to place your hand at that same angle as you see on Illustration 1. In other words, what you're going to do is you're going to turn your airplane. Your hand with your palm facing down is going to represent an airplane. So you're going to just turn the whole hand over so your thumb is pointing down pretty much at the same angle that you see on Illustration 1. So let's say now you've got this angle, your thumb is at about a 7 o'clock position, so you're actually making a left turn. So just keep it right there. Let's say you're piloting this airplane. You're making a left turn. You're actually physically making a left turn. Now, what I'd like you to do, I don't want you to move your hand at all. Just keep it there. Keep in that left turn position. Now, as you're doing that, I want you to now move your eyes over to Illustration 2. There's Illustration 2. Illustration 2 is opposite of what you're doing right now. But here's what happens. Don't move your hand, just keep it there at that left turn. Here's what happens. If we become an inexperienced pilot, or if we are an inexperienced pilot, as we fly through bad weather or in clouds, what happens is we're going to get that sensory, that information in that inner ear is going to get all messed up because the clouds are very bumpy. You go up and down. You're going to get some of that movement. And now, even though you're flying to the left, as you're doing right now, and also as you're illustrating on Illustration 1, you feel that you're flying to the right, but you're really not. So let's say on illustration two, you feel that you're flying to the right. I have a question for you. If you feel as if you're turning to the right, when you're really not, but you feel that you're turning to the right, what would you have to do, or what would you think you would have to do to straighten the airplane up to go straight and level? You would have to go what? Go to illustration three. You'd have to start turning the airplane to the left. But remember, you feel that you're turning to the right. So if you feel that you're turning to the right, don't move your hand, keep it in the left position. If you feel that you're turning to the right and you start moving more to the left to straighten the airplane up, go to illustration three. What's happening now? You are actually turning left. You're going to turn some more because you think you're straightening up the airplane. Go to illustration four. You turn all the way over. You're upside down and you crash and burn. That is what mental vertigo will do to us. We will crash and burn. In fact, statistics show that an actual pilot, a real pilot that does not have enough experience, if he gets into some of the clouds or in bad weather, statistics show he will have about 3 minutes to survive and live. Yes, in about 3 minutes, he will actually crash the airplane. Why is that? Because he does not have enough experience. Now, why is this important to you? It's important to you, it's important to me, because if we don't have enough experience, we're going to get into the fog. We're going to get into the clouds when it comes to following through on our goals. And when we get in this cloud and these fogs, what's going to happen is if we don't have enough experience, it's going to bump us around. It's going to get us going back and forth. It's going to move us all over the place. The inner air is going to get all affected. We are going to feel that we should quit and give up. And if we're not careful, we will reward that feeling. So what we have to learn to do is we have to learn to ignore our feelings. That's very challenging. We have to ignore our feelings, and we need to fly by our instruments.
It's Gary back in the studio again. Flying by those instruments can really be challenging at times. Real life is no different. And when I'm traveling to some of my speaking engagements, I often bring my friends or staff or family or clients. And when I start experiencing some of this mental vertigo, I bring it to their attention. I'll ask them as they're sitting in their seat, I'll ask them if we're going left or right, up or down. And usually they don't know exactly what's going on. And of course, this is mainly when we're in the clouds and especially in the clouds at night. One particular situation comes to mind. Let me share it with you. I was flying one day with a client friend of mine, and her name was Frances. And I put Frances in the right seat. She was in the co-pilot seat in the cockpit with me. And it was late at night. It was over the mountains in the Virginia area, the Carolinas, and we were flying along. It was raining. There was lightning. I mean, the winds, everything, it was just beating us like crazy. And as we were flying, because it was so bumpy, there were times the airplane was turning more than a 45-degree angle. So we were really getting beat up and pushed around. As we were turning at 45-degree angles, and I had to bring the airplane back to straight and level, I would ask Frances if she knew what was going on. I said to her, can you feel that we're really turning 45 degrees? And 45 degrees in an airplane is a decent turn. It's considered a steep turn. And she had no concept of it. And I said to her, well, when we get out of this weather, I'm going to go ahead and turn the airplane exactly how you see us turning right now, and you see if you can feel a difference. Well, we got out of that weather about a half an hour later. And now, even though it was dark at nighttime, you could still see the lights, you know, from the mountains, and you could see a lot of different things. As we were flying, I went ahead and said, okay, now I'm going to turn the airplane 45 degrees. And I said to Frances, remember when you were in the weather, you couldn't see what's going on. You were in vertigo with me. And when we were doing the 45 degrees, you didn't even know we were turning left the 45 degrees. So I said, okay, here we go. And as we're turning the airplane, we went 45 degrees. She knew now that we were making the turn because she could see visually. She had references outside, the lights outside and what have you. And as we were making the turn, she could actually see that we were making the turn. And boy, when we went 45 degrees, she kind of like grabbed onto her chair and said, whoa! And then we straightened back up. Here she did the 45-degree turn earlier, but because she was in vertigo and she couldn't see what's going on outside, she had no idea whatsoever she was making such a steep turn. Friends, this is how dangerous vertigo can be. It can be just as challenging and dangerous in the real world, in life. Let's go to the top of page 2 of session 5. We're going to fill in the blanks here. One of the keys in life, L-I-F-E, one of the keys in life to controlling your emotions, E-M-O-T-I-O-N-S, One of the keys in life to controlling your emotions is to clearly identify when you are starting to experience this mental vertigo. Attempt to control it as quickly as you can. So one more time, one of the keys in life to controlling your emotions is to clearly identify when you're starting to experience this mental vertigo. Attempt to control it as quickly as you can. You don't want to wait till it's too late. If it's too late, then it's going to be that much more difficult to get out of it. It can be a dreadful feeling. You know you've had the feeling before. I'm sure you have. I know I get the feeling once in a while. When I first started into personal growth and wanted to really move forward and start accomplishing things, you know, things didn't go the way I expected them to go, and you feel lost, sometimes very helpless when things don't go your way. Your hope is gone. Yes, that is mental vertigo. So let's take this mental vertigo head on and continue to listen in on this call.
Let me give you some illustrations now as to how, or some examples, how a person goes through this in the real world as a pilot. And you'll see how this really relates to the real world, our world of following through to our goals. If a person does not have a pilot's license and they say, hey, I want to become a pilot, they go through the normal training that they have to go through, and then after they pass a specific test, they now have a private pilot's license. What this means is all they can do pretty much is fly in pretty decent weather. And the weather has to be pretty good for them to be able to legally fly. They cannot fly through a cloud. If they fly near a cloud or through a cloud, in most cases, it's absolutely illegal. And if they fly in the cloud, they certainly won't stay in there long because they're going to come down and crash because they don't have enough experience. How would a person then get enough experience to be able to fly when it rains or in the clouds? I mean, obviously you're going to limit yourself quite a bit if you can't use your airplane or rent an airplane when it's a bad rainy day. And if that was the case, you would never be able to fly in an airline if it was a rainy bad day, or you would never be able to fly through clouds. So how are pilots able to do that? Well, they go through the next level of training. It's called instrument training. Now with this instrument training, what happens is they take a person, an instructor who is very qualified, and that instructor, they pretend, if you will, they actually pretend that they're going in the air. They actually do take off, but they pretend that they're in the clouds. They pretend that they can't see outside. And how do they do that? They actually put, it's like a visor or a hat that goes out beyond a person's forehead about maybe 8 inches or so. And then it curves on the corners. So the student pilot, the pilot learning to fly in the instruments, all they can see is the inside of the cockpit. They can't see outside. This helps them simulate the real world. When they get in the clouds, you can't see anything, so you have to focus on your instruments. Let's say that person passes the test after extensive training. They have their license to fly legally now through the clouds. Do you think it's a smart thing for them to do that right away? Nope, absolutely not. Why? Because they still don't have enough experience. Just because they have that license does not mean they have enough experience. So they have to continue to build that experience. That experience also comes slowly and will build their confidence. But let's say that pilot does not fly that airplane for about 6 months. What do you think is going to happen to his experience? Is it going to increase or decrease? Well, obviously, it's going to what? It's going to decrease. Now, if he hasn't done any flying in 6 months, what's going to have to happen to him, he's now got to start over to some degree, go back with an instructor, and he's got to do 1 hour of flying and 1 hour of ground school, and the instructor is going to put them through the simulation again. They're going to check him out. They're going to try him. They're going to put him through little tests. They're going to put him through little emergencies to make sure he's really efficient and legal to go through and do this again. If the instructor says, hey, you're good enough, he signed your logbook, and now you're legal to go in those clouds all by yourself. My point in sharing all this with you is that I have given you a tremendous amount of clues as to what we need to do when we get into mental vertigo. Let's stop and think about it. Number one, how does a pilot prevent themselves from getting into mental vertigo? There are several ways. The number one way is perhaps experience, gain experience. So my question to you then is, how do you prevent yourself from getting into mental vertigo? Well, you've got to have what? You've got to get experience. But here's the challenge. When we get into mental vertigo, the human tendency is to do what? See, as humans, we like to take the course of what? Least resistance. So when we get into this mental vertigo, when we've unfortunately allowed some of this external stimuli to get into our head, we're letting some of that rent space in our head, unfortunately we have a tendency to do opposite of going forward. We have a tendency to stop, give up, quit, or slow down. Now, if we do that, can we say that we're working toward gaining experience? Absolutely not. That would be like as if I'm getting ready to fly an airplane and I see there's a bunch of clouds, even though I have the license to do it, and I say, no, I don't think I want to do that. I'm not going to do that. No way. How can I gain experience if I sit on the ground? Now, obviously, I want to make sure if I'm going to try to gain some experience, it's weather that I can handle. I don't want to go into something that's going to be too much for me, so I need to understand my limitations. But at the same point, I also want to keep stretching and growing. You've got to develop experience. You need to remember that. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't give themselves enough chance. What happens is they go into that mental vertigo. They fly by their feelings. If you actually get into mental vertigo in an airplane, you will literally feel that you're going up when you're really going down. You might feel that you're turning left when you're turning right. In fact, yesterday I was flying back from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I literally thought I was turning to the left, and I felt I was turning to the left. If I was a betting man, I would bet money that I was turning to the left, but immediately once I felt something unusual, I looked right to my instruments, and my instruments told me I was flying straight. Next question is, how do you prevent from getting into mental vertigo? Well, if you are a risk taker, you probably cannot prevent it. It doesn't matter how experienced you are as a pilot. It's irrelevant. You could have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours, but friends, you are human. And if you get into bad weather and that weather just jars that airplane and it moves you around and the fluid in the inner air starts going, you're going to feel that up is down and left is right. Again, it does not matter how much experience you have. There are times that very experienced pilots get susceptible to mental vertigo. So we may not be able to prevent mental vertigo, but here's the key. The key is, how can we not reward the mental vertigo? Ah, see, we're all susceptible to mental vertigo. It would be similar to me saying to you, okay, I'm going to bring you here into my living room, and I'm going to have you close your eyes and turn you around and around and around and around and around. We're going to do that for about 1 or 2 minutes. When I tell you to stop turning around, what's going to happen? You're going to have a hard time standing up. Right? Now, it doesn't matter how strong you are or how much experience you have of walking and standing straight. It does not matter who you are. You're going to be susceptible to that because you have fluid in your inner ear. So here's the key. If you're going to be a risk taker, if you're going to work toward your goals, the key is if you are human, you're going to be susceptible to this mental vertigo. So the point here is it's okay to be susceptible to mental vertigo because all this instrument training that pilots do, they do for one specific reason, really. They do it because they're trying to train you that when you do get into mental vertigo, you learn to ignore it. There is one account after another account after another account of pilots who've gotten into the clouds, they got into mental vertigo, and they're rewarded the feeling, and they're no longer with us. So the point here is, yes, no matter how much experience you have, you can still be susceptible to mental vertigo. The thing that we want to really hone in on, though, is what can we do so we don't reward the mental vertigo? Let's go into that a little bit. We touched on it just a little bit. Number one, we need to strengthen our belief. You need to strengthen your belief, and that's one of the things that you can do to make sure you don't reward this mental vertigo when you're in mental vertigo. You're going to get into mental vertigo when you talk to people about your goals, you talk to people about the opportunities that you offer, and they say no, and you have another person that says no, and another person that says no, and so on and so forth. Or you had higher expectations for yourself, and you got to a certain time frame, and you look back and you say, wow, you know, I should be here, and look where I'm at now. And if you're not careful, you'll allow thoughts like that to cause you to get into mental vertigo. So remember, it's not only the thoughts of the external stimuli from other people or other things. We can also create the thoughts in ourselves that cause this mental vertigo.
It's me again back in the studio, and I hope you're enjoying this session on mental vertigo. On page 2 of session 5, we've got a few exercises to work with. So let's start with the first. In this exercise, specifically identify things, circumstances, fill in that blank with the word circumstances, C-I-R-C-U-M-S-T-A-N-C-E-S. Specifically identify things, circumstances, and or thoughts. Put the word thoughts in that next blank, or thoughts that might cause you to be susceptible to mental vertigo. One more time. Specifically identify things, circumstances, and or thoughts that might cause you to be susceptible to mental vertigo. I'll share a few of mine with you. This one used to bring me down all the time until I finally got it figured out, or at least I like to think I have. My expectations were just too high. I would work hard toward my goals, work hard toward accomplishing them. My deadline would come, and then I'd look back and say, nothing happened. Essentially, I was constantly setting myself up to get in mental vertigo. Expectations were high, I didn't hit those expectations, and I would get discouraged. Another thing that I would really do to really make things worse was to tell the wrong people about the wrong things. If things weren't working out or they weren't going my way, unfortunately, I would tell people who really weren't goal-oriented. I'd get a lot of negative feedback from them, like, you know, why are you putting yourself through all of this? Is it really worth it? And then I would tailspin again. I would allow that information, those thoughts, to cause me to get into mental vertigo. So what was I doing wrong? Well, I set myself up again for vertigo. Telling someone about how challenging and how difficult it is, and when you're telling somebody who thinks opposite of the way you do, that's really a recipe for trouble. So I had to stop doing that. Okay, what about you now? Take some time to do this exercise. Stop your program.
So what we have to do is we have to strengthen our beliefs. The next question might be then, Gary, how do you strengthen those beliefs? Well, there are several ways. Number one, what you need to do is we need to do things like get on calls like this, go to seminars, read books, listen to tapes, CDs, whatever, watch DVDs, whatever it takes. You need to keep filling your mind with the right beliefs. You can't just jump into some idea and just go by yourself and expect to really take a lot of risk, go toward your goals, and just have no problems whatsoever. The key is you've got to strengthen your beliefs by what you feed your mind. The next thing is what we can do to strengthen our beliefs is that we need to practice. We need to practice. There's no greater way of practicing than going what? Than going forward. Anytime you feel like quitting and you reward that, you're no longer giving yourself the opportunity to practice. And that's what this gives you. It gives you practice. For example, when I'm flying an airplane and somebody says, oh man, especially somebody that doesn't know much about flying and the weather is, you know, it's rainy and so forth, they'll say to me, boy, aren't you glad you're not flying today? And really my answer is, no, I'm not. I kind of wish I was because it keeps me polished. You know, the beautiful clear blue skies, I mean, anybody can fly in that. The thing is, I'm looking for stuff that's going to polish me, that's going to give me more experience, that's going to make me better. And that's what we have to do in our mind. We can't just, every time there's a challenge and it's not going our way, we just want to throw in the towel because now we're susceptible to that mental vertigo and we have allowed that mental vertigo and what we caused that to happen, we've allowed it now to all rent space in our head. And we can't afford that because if we allow that to happen, we can't go forward. We're going to quit. The next thing that we can do is, just like these pilots do, they get an instructor. They get somebody who's going to coach them along. And when they make a mistake, hey, it's okay. Here's what you do. You do it this way. Oh, great. Thank you. Let's try it again. And you try it again. Get a mentor. You know, maybe you're being mentored by me right now. Maybe you have a friend, somebody, whomever, mom, dad. You could read books and get your mentors from there and learn how they think and the things that they do. These friends are the ways that you strengthen your beliefs. This also enables you to get to the point where you want to keep practicing and keep pushing toward that experience, because if you don't have that experience, you're also going to stop. So all these things that I'm sharing with you also helps you want to keep going forward so you can keep gaining that experience. Use these things to enable you to strengthen your beliefs. And what are we talking about beliefs? We're talking about the thought process or thought processes that it takes to continue to go forward and make your dreams a reality. Another thing that we want to talk about with regards to how we can make sure we don't reward this mental vertigo is, how do pilots do this? One of the things that they have to do is they have to calibrate their instruments. Very interesting. They have to calibrate their instruments. It is a law that just about every airplane that's out there, under certain specific categories, that every certain amount of months, every 6 months or every 24 months or whatever the stipulation is, that these instruments have to be calibrated. That is the law. Why do they have to be calibrated? Because sometimes they can start getting off a little bit. You see, a pilot's instruments can be off just a few degrees, and he can be very experienced. And because he's experienced, he flies by those instruments. But because of whatever reason, he didn't take enough time to make sure, or he broke the law, if you will, and he risked it when it was really not the right risk to take, and he's flying by these instruments that are just off a few degrees. You know, if you take a pilot and you put him on a course that's off just a few degrees, eventually, an hour or two from now, it can put him literally hundreds of miles off of course. So, yes, it's important to make sure that we have the right beliefs and we strengthen our beliefs, but it's also just as important to make sure our beliefs are calibrated. So, again, how do we calibrate these beliefs? We do it by being on programs like this. We do it by feeling our mind. We do it by finding what other people are doing and find out what their mindset is and what they had to do and how they acted on that mindset to attain their goals. That's also how we calibrate our instruments.
We've got a few more exercises to complete. We're still on page 2 of session 5. Now, let's identify specific things that you can do to strengthen your belief. We discussed some of them earlier. Find out what works for you. After you've completed that, second, identify ways to keep your beliefs or instruments calibrated. Go ahead and do those two exercises now. Stop your program.
Another way that we can calibrate our instruments is that we need to challenge our instruments. And remember, instruments are our beliefs. So we need to challenge them. Try to prove your instruments or your beliefs to be wrong. They need to be bulletproof. In other words, when you take instruments in an airplane and you're calibrating it, what you're actually doing it, you're actually testing it for errors. You're trying to put holes in it, if you will. You're trying to say, okay, it's supposed to be over here, and it's saying, no, it's over here. And if it does go off or it is wrong, then you calibrate it to where it should be. So you want to make sure that your beliefs can be challenged. In other words, when somebody says to you, oh, you can't make this happen, you want to be able to be so strong that your instruments are so calibrated that you can fire right back at them and give them specific reasons why, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you are succeeding or will succeed or will continue to succeed in what you're doing. Now, if somebody challenges you consistently and you're not able to fire back with those beliefs and you allow that external stimuli to affect you, what it means, it doesn't mean that you're a loser and you got to quit. What it means is that your instruments are really not that calibrated. Yeah, you're saying the right things. That's good. That means you have the right thought process, but you don't believe it enough. That's what we have to do. We have to calibrate it even stronger. Make sure in all your beliefs that you make them bulletproof. Make sure you get them challenged. Challenge those beliefs. Challenge them to the point that you can fire back and say, no, I know this is to be true because of bam, 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 bam. And if somebody does show you a specific belief that you might have that may be off a little bit, then the smart thing to do would be what? Recalibrate that belief. Recalibrate that instrument, because that instrument is what's going to get you from point A to point B. All right? Hopefully you got a lot of information on this mental vertigo, friends. It's really, really powerful stuff, because if we're going to work toward our goals, especially if we're trying to do it very aggressively and we have a lot of passion in doing it, we are going to be susceptible to mental vertigo. And the key is to really work toward our goals and try to enjoy it as much as possible. We've got to learn to master mental vertigo. And again, you're going to do that by strengthening your beliefs and calibrating your beliefs or your instruments. Real quickly, in conclusion, let's go to your second page for session 5, and that would be setting the goal. Setting the goal. We're on step 4 here, and what we're going to do is we've got two blanks to fill in, and the first blank is the word identify. I-D-E-N-T-I-F-Y. Identify what I can do to fuel my passion that relates to attaining my specific goal. Put in the word specific, S-P-E-C-I-F-I-C. Let me repeat that one more time. Identify what I can do to fuel my passion that relates to attaining my specific goal. Remember, we talked a lot about passions and fueling our passions in previous sessions. So what we want to do now is take that knowledge that we learned and we want to apply it here. This is where we start putting all this information that we're learning in this program, and we put it together step by step now to come up with a complete program with regards to setting goals. So we want to identify what we can do to fuel our passions that relate to attaining to my specific goal. So your specific goal hopefully should be on the beginning of this page here where you have identified the goal. And for this specific goal that you have, can you identify specific things that you can do on a regular basis to keep fueling your passion? And as you keep fueling your passion, it's going to give you hopefully part of that drive to keep going forward. You're going to take some of that drive to keep going forward and follow through. And then you're also going to go back to remember where. You're going to go back to session one to see if you can continue to work on taking those sixes and bringing them up to sevens, eights, nines, or tens. Well, friends, that concludes session five. Look forward to seeing you next week for session six.
Great. It was wonderful, and we thank you so much for sharing this with us. And, you know, I know everybody who's been on all these calls is getting so much out of it. We're very, very grateful to have you giving us this gift of your time.
Back in the studio, and we're not done yet. We've got more. What we're going to do now is listen in on a consultation with a woman by the name of Jennifer. She was one of the winners that had the opportunity to get to work with me. We're going to walk her now through how to master mental vertigo with her specific challenges that she's experiencing in her life.
Jennifer, I want to thank you for participating in the call today. You had a couple questions with regards to our topic on mental vertigo. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your background, your story, you know, what's affecting you? And then let's go to your question and see if we can come up with some answers that might help out a little bit.
Okay. My background is pretty much, I'm 27, I have three kids, and I have a lot of goals in my life. The first one is to, well, not even a first. My whole issue is that it's all related to mental vertigo and the yo-yo syndrome and all this other stuff, where when I try to do something, when people respond negatively, right, it sends me into this hole.
Okay.
And it takes, like, sometimes weeks to get out of it.
Okay.
For instance, I went on a trip and came back, and my husband basically says that I put all my goals before my family and him, and I look at it like I'm doing it for the kids,
right,
and him.
Right.
And my parents are like, oh, this is just another one of your crazy ideas, this,
yeah,
that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We have been bankrupt because I worked on commission income, and
okay,
it was great for a while, but then, of course, mental vertigo, when it started going down, everything was negative, everything started backing up, and the stress, and the, I couldn't get out of the hole,
okay,
you know, and so there's been a lot of blame placed on me for that, because it was a crazy idea to go sell insurance, and now everybody looks at goals and things that I've set for myself now.
Here we go again.
As yet, oh, here we go. They're going to be bankrupt again in 7 years.
Yep.
She doesn't know what the heck she's doing. She's stupid. They have got to learn to just deal with what they've got and be plain old blue-collar people, this, that, everything. And everybody gets mad because when I decide to do something, I do it 150%,
okay,
to see if it's going to work. And I have always been successful at that.
Okay.
But once I get to that point and I'm successful, the negativity is still coming in. Well, how are you going to maintain that? There's no way you're going to be able to raise a family. You know, you can't count on your income. You can't count on this or that. And then I get on the sliding board. And it's not a slow motion downfall. It's, I mean, everything compounds and it just rolls. You know, and so there's, and I don't know how to take what somebody says and let it bounce and keep going.
All right, so put this all in a nutshell with a question. What question would you come up with?
My question would be, how do I deal, especially with people close to me, with the mental vertigo when it's a consistent thing in my life on a daily, sometimes hourly basis?
Right. And I tell you, that is a challenge, no question about it. But remember what we talked about. We said that mental vertigo is a state of mind.
Right.
We also discussed that it can make you want to instantly give up.
Exactly.
So what we have to figure out is, what are some of the things that are happening that are causing the mental vertigo?
Okay.
So what we need to do is, what I would suggest that you do, is figure out what is it that's being said that affects you. And then when you figure out what it is that's being said that affects you, how does it affect you?
Okay.
So, for example, if you work towards your goals and you start hearing some of the negativity, that, you know, here's one of your ideas again. Do you remember what happened last time? And for you, that's very, very difficult to handle at times.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is figure out what it is that's being said. And I would actually put this on paper.
Okay.
Because you probably hear the same stuff all the time.
Right.
It's the same group of words, same sentence, et cetera.
Same people.
Same people.
Yeah.
I know a lot of it's your family.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you may need to back off on some of the things that you tell your family, because
right.
what you're doing is you're probably making it a lot worse than it really is by saying, oh, man, you know, I tried to do this and that and it didn't work, and, you know, you're going to hear the, I told you so. Some of the things that you can shut up about, if you will,
right.
shut up about them. Go to somebody who understands your goals, somebody that can relate to you, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with, when you get into mental vertigo, there's nothing wrong with finding somebody and dumping on them. That's
right.
just human. That's okay. But make sure you dump on the right person, a
right.
person who understands and that can say, hey, I know it's difficult. Just hang in there.
Right.
Now, of course, we, you know, hang in there is nice, but that's a lot easier said than done, too. So let's talk about some ways that we can try to get out of the mental vertigo. Keep in mind that when you get into mental vertigo, what gets really altered is your thought process. And there's two things and two things only that cause us as humans to have the design motivation to attain anything, Jennifer. And that is a value in what we want to do and a belief in what we're doing. So the key here for you is, when you hear this negative stuff, let's say before you hear all that, you're on a high, okay?
Right.
Your high is caused by what? Your value and belief.
Right.
All right, it's there. You can see it right in front of you. It may take a while, but it's still there.
Right.
So it's nice and high. You feel that nice adrenaline pump. You feel good. Then you get some of this negativity. You have allowed, and I like your email, because you admit that you're allowing this to happen, and that's what it amounts to. It's something that you're allowing to happen.
Right.
You allow it to happen. So what we have to do is, when it does happen, I want you to start evaluating your value and your belief, that feeling. Let's say right now you're at an 8 or a 9 or a 10.
Right.
When you start hearing some of this, where does it start going? And you want to be honest with yourself. You don't want to know what it is that was said that caused you to buy that junk, that caused you to go from an 8 to maybe a 4 or a 2.
Right.
Your goal now is to do what? Is to try not to allow that information to alter your mind.
Yeah.
Let us say it does alter your mind, because there's times I get altered too. I'm just human. I'm human like anybody else.
Right.
What you want to try to do now, you've already admitted that when you get into mental vertigo, you do get off of course for several weeks at times.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous, because why that's so dangerous, Jennifer, is you've now lost momentum.
Yeah, and you got to start from scratch.
Absolutely.
Over and over and over again.
So this is where we want to go back to the statement, and I don't think you were able to get the other calls, but we had a statement, I think it was in lesson 4, it's the law of inertia. Things that move want to keep moving. It doesn't say it has to move fast, Jennifer. It just says it has to move. So when you get into mental vertigo, understand what your beliefs are saying. When they're negative, understand what they should be saying. I can do this. I am going to make this happen. And then make the actions in your life according to the belief that says, I can do it. Even though you feel very uncomfortable, you feel that your state of mind is saying, quick, you know, throw in the towel. Your challenge is you can't allow that space of weeks to go by
right.
to rejuvenate yourself. You
right.
lost so much momentum.
Yep.
So when this stuff is affecting you and you're in mental vertigo, okay, let's acknowledge we're in vertigo. It's just like when I'm in the airplane. I acknowledge I'm in vertigo. So what am I acknowledging? I'm acknowledging that if I'm not careful, I'm going to be sensitive to flying by my feelings.
Right.
And the same for you. When you acknowledge that you're in vertigo, what you are now telling yourself is, wait a minute, I am now sensitive or overly sensitive to flying by my feelings. What feelings? The feelings that tell you to what? To quit.
Right.
Now we've acknowledged we're in vertigo. We also now acknowledge that, wait a minute, you know, we have a possibility here of getting caught up in the vertigo. And how do we define getting caught up in a vertigo? We fly by those negative feelings. So you put a flag up and say, okay, what's my instrument say? Well, my instruments say, I can't give up. I must go forward. My instruments say, oh, there's one over here that says the law of inertia, things that move, want to keep moving. I've got to keep moving. So you make one phone call. You do something. Work toward that goal again, knowing that the pattern that you've had is once you get into mental vertigo, you crash and you're down and out for several weeks.
Right.
So that is one thing that we need to stop from happening.
Right.
Acknowledge that we have it, but before the airplane starts going into a spin, let's see if we can stop that and do a little something. Yes, it's going to feel awkward. Why? Because we're still in vertigo and we
right.
still feel that it's not going to work, that we need to quit. And here we are trying to do something opposite of how we feel.
Right.
So that's my biggest suggestion to you. Let me wrap it up and kind of review everything.
Okay.
I want you to identify specifically the thoughts that cause you to get into mental vertigo.
Okay.
The next time they have them and you hear them, I want you to acknowledge, oops, that can put me in mental vertigo. That's what's put me in mental vertigo before.
Right.
I'm catching it.
Okay.
At least acknowledge it, because as you know as well as I do, sometimes you can get into it and you don't even realize that's what it really is, but you're just depressed and down.
Right.
Until you consciously start, whoa, slap yourself in the face, wait a minute, oh man, I just got in that mental vertigo, didn't I?
Yeah.
And you know, you could go for hours without even, you know, consciously acknowledging what you're allowing your mind to do to you.
Right.
So I think one of the keys for you is to acknowledge that it's happening. Because if a pilot doesn't acknowledge it's happening, they're going to crash.
Right.
I don't care how many years they've been flying. So once we've got to acknowledge, the next thing now is to fly by some instruments. You need to get some instruments in your airplane. You need to have instruments, and those instruments need to be specific thoughts. You would need to write them down. Because in an airplane, I have to look at these instruments. I need to physically look at them, and I need to interpret everything that they're saying to me. So for you, your instruments need to be, okay, I went bankrupt before, so did Walt Disney and several other people.
Right.
And this is just part of a person who is willing to go beyond excellence and stretch toward their goals. And you know what? It could happen again, but I'm not going to give up. Put
yeah.
something like that down. That's the belief that you want to fly by. Another belief might be, when I get into mental vertigo, I've got to get going and keep going forward. Even though it's small steps, I've got to go forward. When you start feeling in mental vertigo, the moment a pilot feels mental vertigo, what do? They stare at their instruments.
Right.
And they move their eyeballs around all over their instruments and start interpreting what's going on. Well, when you start getting into vertigo, what I want you to do is I want to have you pull out this cue card or this index card that has all your beliefs on there, all your
right.
instruments. And then you're going to force yourself to go by the information that's on the index card.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And what this is going to do, this is going to enable you to start consciously taking control of your mind instead of the mental vertigo controlling you.
Right.
And then when you start doing this, you will become more successful at it. It will become easier. It doesn't mean you'll eliminate the mental vertigo, but at least when you get into mental vertigo, the goal is to, without even thinking about it, just like you breathe and don't think about it, when you get into mental vertigo, boom, you immediately move and take some type of action towards your goal.
Right.
Whereas now you're taking off 2 weeks and, you know, can't afford
yeah.
to do that.
No, can't, not at all.
Does some of that help you, Jennifer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You repeat to me what you're going to do.
I have to realize what was said that made me, I guess, angry or whatever, that put me into mental vertigo.
Very
I have
good.
To acknowledge the fact that it's an issue
good.
Before it becomes a mountain
Very good.
Of an issue.
Right.
Then I have to immediately, rather than 3 weeks later, which is what I typically do,
okay.
go down to my office and start looking at my quotes that I like,
exactly.
you know, the instruments, my goals, my beliefs, my, you know, plan for everything that I want to do financially
now,
for my kids.
Let Let me interrupt you right there.
Okay.
Be careful when you do that, though, because sometimes you can be in mental vertigo so deep that when you look at those goals, that now they feel so far-fetched, and it can discourage you even more. One thing I do want to make sure that you do, if you are able to look at those goals again and see them clearly, great. If you're not, just pull off of it a little bit, but at least do something now to work toward a goal.
Yeah.
Or at least a small piece of the big goal, okay?
Just that. I mean, usually, one of the things that my husband constantly says is, what you're doing, you're never going to be able to accomplish it. It's for few select people and not everybody else, and this is just something that is going to, you know, run us in the ground again. That immediately set me to, you know, everything else.
Yep.
And eventually, I won't quit. I don't know if it's out of spite or if it's just my will. I like to think that it's my will because I am goal-oriented and I'm a very motivated, good person. You know, I have good intentions with everything that I do. And
let me interrupt you again, Jennifer. I know our time is limited, so I want to give you as much as I can.
Okay.
I want you to associate quitting to something new. So you associate quitting to the overall picture.
Right.
I want you to associate quitting to when you get this mental vertigo and you throw in the towel for 3 weeks. I want you to say, all right, that's quitting.
3 weeks off.
You see?
Yeah.
So you look at the big picture and say, you know, this may not work, but in 5 years I'll try it again, or in 20 years I'll try it again. I don't care. I'm not going to quit.
Right.
But, okay, that's good. But I want you to take that and make it a little bit more real and more serious.
Right.
If you get into mental vertigo and you see you're starting that trend to just throw in the towel for 3 weeks, tell yourself, I'm quitting.
Yeah.
And you say, no, I'm not going to quit. How do you prove that you're not going to quit? Boom, you move forward. You follow through.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that completely makes sense.
Okay, girl.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Enjoyed it.
I really appreciate it.
Keep up the good work, and hopefully we'll hear from you again soon.
Thank you. That you will. Thanks a bunch. Okay. I'll do it. All right. Bye-bye.